I'm Jim Cameron, Jim Cameron Consulting, broadcasting from the Fountainhead, home of Synergy Billing, and I'm your host for Volusia Matters, news, interviews, and matters that impact Volusia County directly or indirectly. And if you would, please click that like or follow button if you want to receive notice of this podcast, and it sure helped me. And tonight is opening night for our Daytona Tortugas. They're playing Palm Beach Cardinals. Gates open at 5:30, and I want to wish them the best for a successful season. So I'm going to be providing a weekly report on the Tortugas, so get down there to Jackie Robinson Ballpark to see them. And don't forget that the 21st annual Jeep Beach event will be coming to Daytona. This is an adventure for Jeep enthusiasts that's going to run April 19th through the 28th. It's going to include country music singers performing at their inaugural Jeep Beach Radio Music Fest. That's April 26th. That's going to be at the Speedway in the infield. There's also going to be scavenger hunts, a five-mile fun run, as well as other activities. Now, this event has raised and donated over $4 million to area charities, including like Boys and Girls Club, NASCAR Foundation, Childhood Cancer Foundation, and more than 70 other nonprofits. And this is why this is a quality event that everyone should welcome. And now for the news. County Chair Jeff Brower was elected Chair of the Central Florida Commuter Rail Commission, which includes the five local SunRail partners, Volusia, Seminole, Orange, and Osceola counties, as well as City of Orlando. Now, SunRail, it's a weekday commuter rail system. Right now, runs from DeBary to Poinciana that spans 49 miles and services 16 stations. Now, this summer, a new station is going to be an opening in DeLand. Now, Brower has represented Volusia on the commission since 2021 and recently said it's a critical time for Volusia's involvement with SunRail as FDOT transfers funding, operations, maintenance to the local partners. As chair, Brower will set the agenda with FDOT District 5 Transportation Secretary John Tyler. I want to remind everyone that FDOT has operated and paid SunRail expenses since 2014 and will continue to do so up to December 31st. After that, the five local partners, including Volusia, will take over operations and cost in phases. Next item, the state's Office of Insurance Regulation announced that eight property casualty insurers have been approved to enter Florida's insurance market. Ovation Home Exchange, Manatee Exchange, Condos Owner Exchange, Orange Exchange, Orion 180 Select, Mainsail, and Tail Row Insurance Companies are now part of Florida's private sector property casualty market. And Insurance Commissioner Michael Jaworski said that because of recent legislative reforms to promote market stability, Florida's market continues to strengthen with more than $1.25 billion of capital being invested into the market and that they'll be recruiting more insurers to the state. And regulators are now shifting policies to these new private sector companies from Citizens the state's insurer of last resort so they can relieve the state's exposure. Next item, did you know? The median earnings for employees in Daytona Beach is about $28,000. And the city's per capita income is approximately $21,960 compared to $36,000 and change for Volusia County. The 32114 median household income is approximately $40,000 compared to $61,000 for Volusia, compared to the national average of $74,000. And next item, here's a glance of the area's market rents for apartments for all bedrooms and all property types. So the median rent for Daytona Beach is $1,375, and that's the price range for all bedrooms, all property types, spanning from $750 to $2,900. And last year, rent in this area increased by $75. Median rent for Daytona Beach Shores is $2,300, ranging from $1,000 to $4,500. For Ormond Beach, it's $2,350, ranging again from $1,000 to $4,500. And for Port Orange, it's basically $2,000, ranging from $700 to $3,800. And for New Smyrna Beach, it's about $2,700, ranging from $1,000 to a few at $5,000. Wow. And for Deltona, it's a little over $2,000, ranging from $1,200 to $3,800. And that also is $75 higher last year's median rent. For DeLand, it's $1,850, ranging from $600 to about $4,500. Next item, last night, Daytona Beach Charter Review Commission hosted its second town hall meeting for the public to share their thoughts on the city's charter, and they met at the police department, and their next meeting will be Monday, April 22nd, at the Schnebley Recreation Center on A1A. And another item that I also mentioned last week is that the New Smyrna Beach City Commission is looking for a new city manager to take over for Khalid Reshtet, who is retiring in August. Now, their first public workshop will be Thursday, April 18th, 5:30 p.m. at City Commission Chambers, where there will be an introduction of applicants from which the commissioners will select 8 to 12 semi-finalists. And next item, a few of the items that are going to be on local agendas this week. Tonight, April the 9th, Orange City City Council meets where they'll consider amending and repealing parts of their panhandling solicitation ordinance. I think they want to do this as a precaution and want to see how that Daytona Beach court case turns out. Then, Holly Hill City Commission also meets tonight where they'll consider amending future land use map of their comprehensive plan for a new neighborhood project. New Smyrna Beach City Commission meets tonight where they'll consider an ordinance to halt issuing building permits that impact that stormwater system in Venetian Bay. They're also going to consider reappointing a member to their code enforcement board. South Daytona City Council meets this evening to take up a budget resolution amending current expenses and capital outlay for their general fund, fire and police impact fee trust funds, transportation fund, as well as other funds. Then Daytona Beach Shores City Commission meets tonight. Well, they'll be considering approval to repair the St. Kitts Park rock revetment and beach access stairs, as well as a dune walkover on the beach side. And Lake Helen and Ponce Inlet, they'll meet Thursday, April the 11th. School board is meeting this afternoon, April the 9th. They're going to be taking up student code of conduct, also middle school organization, school clubs, promotion and graduation exercises, annual school calendar, academic freedom, duties of principals, staff use of district cell phones, payment of dues for Florida Conservative Coalition of School Board members, as well as approving Value Adjustment Board citizens member for 2024. Next item, City of DeBary will be collecting household hazardous waste Saturday, April 13th, 8 a.m. 12 noon at DeBary Hall parking lot. They'll be disposing of those nasty items like solvents and pesticides and auto batteries and motor oil, that type stuff. However, TVs and electronics won't be accepted. If you want to dispose of these type things, go to earth911.com. And then South Daytona and Waste Pro, they're also collecting items, but it's going to be anything that you can drag, push, or pull to the curb, except for paints and hazardous waste. They'll be collecting these from April the 15th to the 25th. Also, starting June 12th, Avelo Airlines is adding one more nonstop flight on Wednesdays to Daytona Beach International Airport, thus making service to New Haven, Connecticut now on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Next item, Governor DeSantis signed Senate Bill 1638, which directs an estimated $750 million of revenue from the Seminole Tribe Compact with the state annually, and it'll be used to fund water quality improvement, infrastructure, and acquisition and management of Florida's conservation lands. And a portion of the supplemental revenues will be used for flood protection infrastructure. $100 million of that will go for Resilient Florida grant program to guard our inland and coastal communities against the impact of storm damage, surges, hurricanes, and $79 million will go for water quality improvement grant program. Next item, First Step Shelter. They report that they're getting more and more referrals for seniors and now have up to a little over 70 people daily. And in March, they had 15 residents age 65 or older, of which 9 needed shelter because they couldn't afford rent anymore. Now, First Step is also teamed up with the Daytona Beach Housing Authority for a pilot program where they housed 5 seniors. And they also housed 5 of 12 veterans that had been in the shelter and helped another vet into a rehab facility. And next, last week, I had the opportunity to tour the new Daytona Regional Chamber building on City Island, my old office. It was fantastic. It's a total revamp from the days when I was there, but everything modern, lots of new technology, a bright new look, and I can go on and on and on. But one more thing I was impressed with is that amount of meeting space at the facility. More rooms available for members, and I believe on a rental basis, I believe that is. and it includes smart TVs for presentations, all types of stuff like that. And they also are housing the Daytona Beach Economic Development Office in there as well. And that's a good thing, because I think the Chamber and the city's Economic Development Office needs to work hand in hand. So again, congratulations to Nancy Kiefer and the Chamber team. And our next item is interview with Holly Hill City Commissioner Roy Johnson. With us this morning, we have Holly Hill Commissioner Roy Johnson. Glad to have you with us today, Roy.
And I'm sure glad to be with you, Jim, as always.
All righty. Okay, Roy, Holly Hill has seen a lot of visitors to Pictona. What's the latest news you've heard about Pictona, and what impact has it had on the city?
Well, it's been a great, super great impact. We did it phase one, and phase one took off so well. So then we went to phase two, and thanks to the Martins, it increased so fast, and most everyone knows the value of it. The main problem that I think we're going to have with it is we need to have more transportation able to get in and out of it. But Pictona is, I would say, in Holly Hill right now, is just about the world center or the world capital of pickleball, which pickleball is such a fast-growing sport, and people really love it. When they try it, they never quit. And it's Pictona. I mean, it's pickleball. It's putting Holly Hill on the map. It's doing so great for Holly Hill. And that you hear no one complain about it. And it took over the an area that wasn't being used at all in the city of Holly Hill. And I think it's a super great thing for Holly Hill. And I don't think we've hardly seen anything yet compared to what we will see.
I agree. So, hey, let's say that is economic development. In economic development, it's important to any city. Now, Holly Hill's director, John Cox, I believe there's going to be some workshops this week and next week. And so John's brought some innovative ideas about expanding the city's tax base. And how do you see Holly Hill's prospects for bringing in new business?
Well, Holly Hill has a reputation for being super business friendly, and Pictona can tell you that as well. They first went to Daytona, and Daytona seemed to have no interest, I think some other places, and Holly Hill, thanks to John Penny for one, he really picked up on it and decided it was going to be a great thing, and look what happened with it. But the business in Holly Hill pays just about all the taxes in Holly Hill, so we have to keep increasing the business. We have to do everything we can to keep losing the business. We have to continue to be business friendly, which I do. I've been here and I've been in business for like 50-something years in Holly Hill. And all the business people know me. I work with them. I go and I talk to them. And this business is here that are hidden that don't even know about it, such as Bob's Space Racers. They're the world's largest, by far the world's largest, manufacturer of amusement games. They're so backed up with orders, and they're adding people, they're adding equipment, they're trying everything, they're selling equipment in Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Japan, and China, and everywhere. They're all over the world selling equipment all the time. Just one company in Holly Hill, and that's where I got started. That was my first business, was working with Bob Casada at Bob Space Races, which he's called me several times lately when I've got kind of down and out, but it's Holly Hill is business friendly. What can you say? And we're going to keep it that way no matter what it takes.
I agree. But Roy, sports, that's a hot commodity right now. And so what are some of the sports activities that are taking place in city of Holly Hill?
Well, right now you're on a super, super great subject to me, because I have a grandson that's 13 years old, and he's hot and heavy in the sports, and I follow him with everything he does, support him in every way I can, and help him out. And we started out sports to being a great sports center in Holly Hill with the Pictona, as we previously spoke about, and also along US 1 in that area around 6th Street, we have a rock climbing. A rock climbing facility is going to be built there. It's already in the planning stages. We had Flight Gymnastics on Nova Road that built a great sports facility. It took them like within 2 years, they had over 500 members, which encouraged me that I owned all the property the same size on the north side of Flight Gymnastics. So my daughter decided she wanted to build a batting cage facility there for the kids to be able to play when the weather is bad. In the previous years, as we know how the weather is in Florida in the summertime, more than half of the team practices got canceled, more than half of them. And last year when the sports, Volusia Sports Center opened up, that she opened up, it's been a year now, they had no cancellations whatsoever because they could all come to the air-conditioned sports center if it's thundering, lightning, raining, or whatever. And it's been a great thing. I invested lots and lots of money into it. She invested lots and lots of innovation work into it, designed it, and she owns a sports center. It's a great place to come visit. I would super encourage anyone, if they could have the opportunity, to stop at both places on Nova Road and visit Flight Gymnastics, which it's a gigantic trampoline training facility for gymnastics, smaller children mostly. They also have a complete Ninja Warrior facility inside of it, and it's such a super great place. Matt's one of my best friends. He encouraged me and helped me to decide what did I want to do next door, which the place really needed to be fixed up, and my place did because of what it was being used for before, and now it's a super nice facility. So we have two of them there, right side by side together, Flight Gymnastics and Volusia Sports Center. That's mostly for bringing kids in off the streets and having them playing sports. And if it makes one or two kids go straight and away from doing something bad, it's worth the whole effort, as far as I'm concerned. And I just think Holly Hill should eventually be the sports capital of Volusia County, which it may already be. We have sports in Daytona, but like the Speedway and things like that, but it's not full-time. We're having our sports full-time. Pictona, the rock climbing facility will be, the Volusia Sports Center will be, and Flight Gymnastics will be. They're full-time sports facilities, and lots of them for kids and adults to be entertained and to play whatever sports they want to play in them. They'll have a variety of lots of things they can do.
Well, hey, I'm interested also, like you just mentioned, the rock climbing, though, so I want to check that out later myself, though. But moving on, Roy, you're Holly Hill's representative on the Volusia Flagler Transportation Planning Organization, TPO. And any particular transportation project that you'd like to see here in Holly Hill?
Yes, in Holly Hill, I'll touch on Holly Hill first, but it needs to expand a lot more than that. But like I was saying, to begin with Pictona, with all the traffic we have there and all, we're going to have some traffic issues because LPGA Boulevard needs to be widened from Nova Road to US 1 or Ridgewood Avenue. And it's been needed to be done for quite some time. And it's a two-lane road. It's going to be the only road that GPS is going to point anyone to Pictona. If they're coming on I-4, if you're coming on I-95, if you're coming north or south, if you're coming towards Daytona on I-4, GPS is going to point you onto LPGA. When you get to Nova Road, people are going to wonder why they get such a bottleneck, and that's what it's going to amount to. And then after the Pictona international tournaments we're going to be having there, international, not just national, but they're going to have traffic problems going away from it when they're over as well. And so LPGA has always been a top subject with me for many, 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 many years. But that's Holly Hill. But now on the TPO, we have already approved the renovation of LPGA coming across the bridge, which should have been done a long time ago, the little bridge there by the Auto Mall. And also, it's been approved by the TPO of the design now of the new way that LPGA will be coming over I-95. and it's going to be a total separation of the road, one completely over by the Humane Society, the other completely over by the Tanger Outlet Mall. There's going to be a wide separation between them. And it's a great design. If you have a chance, get on the DOT website and have a look at what the design will be. And then another thing we have that's already in the works is the I-95 interchange at US 1 north of Warman. That is the oldest interchange on I-95 in Florida, which I believe was started in 1966 or 67 is when it was completed. And that is well overdue, but now it's funded. It's ready to go and ready to get started, which is a super thing for me. I think we've already got it approved now to do our very next interchange. Is going to be at Pioneer Trail. And then I think in 2029, I believe we're going to have an interchange at Maytown Road, which is a good thing. And the one at Pioneer Trail, I believe, is going to help considerably with the traffic on Dunlawton Avenue for people in Port Orange. And we have lots of other things. And the improvement of LPGA going out to 92 will help a lot with the traffic. If we could connect Timber Creek Road from LPGA all the way up to at least to Highway 40, and I believe in the future it's going to go all the way up to US 1 at that new I-95 exit.
Sunrail, that opens its newest station into land this summer. So excited about that. But also, Brightline, that's Florida's high-speed rail line, and they're looking to open up a station in Brevard County, city of Cocoa particular. But how do you see train activity in the state of Florida over the next several years?
Well, that's a good subject with me, I will tell you that, Jim, because that's one of my favorite things, because traffic is a real problem. I drive the roads all the time. I see how it is on the roads. And the hassle of it is one thing. If you get on that train, the hassle has gone away from you. Now it's up to the train to get you where you want to go. And it's high speed. It's not just a creep along railroad train. And to connect, if there's any way in the future that we could connect every major airport in the state of Florida, which I kind of doubt if it will happen towards the one over in Pensacola area for a while, but the rest of them, if we could connect them all from Jacksonville to Miami, across to Orlando, across to Tampa, and all of them, I think it is the best thing that could ever happen. And if Brightline can make that work, it's just the greatest thing that I think that could happen to Florida. Not only does it take away from the problem with the transportation and the parking, it takes away the problem of the hassle and the stress you have to go through when you go to airports and things like that. They'll bring you right to where you need to go. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have the problem of the stress and the parking areas and the different things you have to go through. And then something could happen in traffic when you're on the way to the airport and then you miss your flight and things like that. There's so many gigantic advantages to it. And if Brightline can make that work, I just think it's the greatest thing that could happen in Florida right now.
Roy, we're certainly glad to have you with us today and look forward to seeing you at next week's commission meeting. Now, to finish up, look for a new podcast episode to be released next week. And the views expressed on this podcast may or may not necessarily express the opinions of Jim Cameron Consulting. And for more news, check out my newsletter. It's emailed the first week of every month. And if you're not receiving it, call me at 566-2140, and my $1,000 guarantee still stands. And to close, I want to thank and give a shout out for my good friend, Roseanne Tornator. This is someone who not only herself made the Roseanne Tornator Safe Zone possible at the First Step Shelter, but she's done numerous other good things here in the community, sponsoring, like I say, numerous charitable events. And I just can't say enough good things about my friend
Roseanne Tornator. Now, this is Jim Cameron signing off, again saying God bless Israel, Ukraine, the U.S., and NATO. And roll tide.